He was faced with the fact that he was going to have to pick the thing up. Here he was, flying along 200 yards above the surface of an alien planet, the name of which he couldn't even remember. He could not ignore the plaintive posture of this tiny piece of what used to be his life, here, so many light years from the pulverized remains of his home. Furthermore, he realized, the bag, if it was still in the state in which he lost it, would contain a can which would have in it the only Greek olive oil still surviving in the universe. Slowly, carefully, inch by inch, he began to bob downwards, swinging gently from side to side like a nervous sheet of paper feeling its way towards the ground. It went well. He was feeling good. The air supported him, but let him through. 2 minutes later, he was hovering a mere 2 feet above the bag and was faced with some difficult decisions. He bobbed there lightly. He frowned, but again as lightly as he could. If he picked the bag up, could he carry it? Mightn't the extra weight just pull him straight to the ground? Mightn't the mere act of touching something on the ground suddenly discharge whatever mysterious force it was that was holding him in the air? Mightn't he be better off just being sensible at this point and stepping out of the air back onto the ground for a moment or two? If he did, would he ever be able to fly again? The sensation, when he allowed himself to be aware of it, was so quietly ecstatic that he could not bear the thought of losing it, perhaps forever. With this worry in mind, he bobbed upwards a little again, just to try the feel of it, the surprising and effortless movement of it. He bobbed, he floated, he tried a little swoop. The swoop was terrific. With his arms spread out in front of him, his hair and dressing gown streaming out behind him, he dived down out of the sky, bellied along a body of air about 2 feet from the ground, and swung back up again, catching himself at the top of the swing and holding, just holding. He stayed there. It was wonderful. And that, he realized, was the way of picking up the bag. He would swoop down and catch hold of it just at the point of the upswing. He would carry it on up with him. He tried one or two more practice swoops, and they got better and better. The air on his face, the bounce and woof of his body, all combined to make him feel an intoxication of the spirit that he hadn't felt since, well, as far as he could work out, since he was born. He drifted away on the breeze, and surveyed the countryside, which was, he discovered, pretty nasty. It had a wasted, ravaged look. He decided not to look at it anymore. He would just pick up the bag and then... He didn't know what he was going to do after he had picked up the bag. He judged himself against the wind, pushed up against it, and turned around. He floated on its body. He didn't realise, but his body was Willoming at this point. He ducked down under the airstream, dipped and dived. The air threw itself past him. He thrilled through it. The ground wobbled uncertainly, straightened its ideas out and rose smoothly up to meet him, offering the bag, its cracked plastic handles up towards him. Halfway down, there was a sudden, dangerous moment when he could no longer believe he was doing this, and therefore he very nearly wasn't. But he recovered himself in time, skimmed over the ground, slipped an arm smoothly through the handles of the bag, and began to climb back up. Couldn't make it, and all of a sudden collapsed, bruised, scratched and shaking on the stony ground. He staggered instantly to his feet and swayed hopelessly around, swinging the bag around him in an agony of grief and disappointment. His feet, suddenly, were stuck heavily to the ground in the way they had always been. His body seemed like an unwieldy sack of potatoes that reeled, stumbling against the ground. His mind had all the lightness of a bag of lead. He sagged and swayed and ached with giddiness. He tried hopelessly to run, but his legs were suddenly too weak. He tripped and flopped forward. At that moment, he remembered that in the bag he was now carrying was not only a can of Greek olive oil, but a duty-free allowance of retsina. And in the pleasurable shock of that realisation, he failed to notice for at least 10 seconds that he was now flying again. He whooped and cried with relief and pleasure and sheer physical delight. He swooped, he wheeled, he skidded and whirled through the air. Cheekily, he sat on an updraft and went through the contents of the holdall. He felt the way he imagined an angel must feel doing its celebrated dance on the head of a pin whilst being counted by philosophers. He laughed with pleasure at the discovery that the bag did in fact contain the olive oil and the retsina, as well as a pair of cracked sunglasses, some sand-filled swimming trunks, some creased postcards of Santorini, a large and unsightly towel, some interesting stones, and various scraps of paper with the addresses of people he was relieved to think he would never meet again, even if the reason why was a sad one. He dropped the stones, put on the sunglasses, and let the pieces of paper whip away in the wind. 10 minutes later, drifting idly through a cloud, he got a large and extremely disreputable cocktail party in the small of the back. End of CD 3.